Have you ever felt that gnawing guilt when setting a boundary with someone you care about? That inner voice whispering you're being selfish or unloving? In Good Boundaries and Goodbyes, Lysa Turkhurst tackles this universal struggle with remarkable insight. This isn't just another relationship book. It's a profound exploration of how boundaries actually protect love rather than diminish it. By weaving biblical wisdom with psychological understanding, Turkhurst creates a compassionate framework for maintaining healthy relationships without sacrificing your well-being. Whether you're dealing with minor relationship friction or contemplating a necessary ending, her perspective offers a path forward that honors both your faith and your emotional health. The book's popularity stems from its rare combination of spiritual depth and practical application, showing that sometimes the most loving thing we can do is establish clear boundaries. Boundaries aren't walls to push people away. They're filters that allow love to flow while keeping harm at bay. Without them, we either explode with frustration or develop silent resentments. As Turkhurst explains, enabling bad behavior isn't love. Compare, "You need to stop drinking because it's embarrassing me," versus, "I care about you too much to pretend your drinking isn't harming you and our relationship." The first attempts control. The second establishes a loving boundary. It's not loving to watch someone harm themselves without speaking up, nor to allow someone to harm you. Health cannot bond with unhealth. Love rejoices in honesty rather than enabling deception. Setting boundaries requires courage, especially when facing resistance. Yet healthy boundaries strengthen worthwhile relationships while filtering out toxic ones. They create the safety that allows vulnerability to flourish. Have you ever had someone who constantly unloaded problems but never took advice? Or expected unlimited emotional support while treating you carelessly? These situations reveal Turkhurst's core insight. Troubled relationships often involve granting too much access without requiring appropriate responsibility. This insight emerged from a childhood friendship that felt like walking on sandspurs. The problem wasn't unmet needs, but giving her friend extensive emotional access despite that friend's irresponsibility with the privileged borrowed items, shared secrets spread to others, and emotional support never reciprocated. This principle mirrors God's approach to relationships. His love is unconditional, but access to him is not. Throughout Scripture, God establishes boundaries and consequences. Not unloving, but the foundation of healthy relationship. Setting boundaries means reducing access to match responsibility. If someone misuses their access to your heart, time, or resources, adjust accordingly. Boundaries aren't weapons, but safeguards to keep relationships safe. Like a fence around a playground, they create a space where relationships can flourish by preventing resentment from chronic boundary violations. Relationships often deteriorate not from conversations had, but from necessary ones never initiated. These crucial discussions prevent unhealthy patterns from becoming normalized. Turkhurst illustrates this with her experience. When her hot water heater only worked with floodlights on, she created an elaborate workaround, representing how we gradually accept increasingly dysfunctional situations. Healthy relationships require five essential elements: trust, truthfulness, transparency, tenderness, and mutual accountability. Without these, we make common mistakes, pleasing others at our expense, trying to fix unwilling people, transforming ourselves to accommodate others' dysfunction, and assuming responsibility for their issues. Dysfunction often feels normal to those immersed in it, like fish unaware they're in water. If you grew up with chaos, chaos might feel comfortable despite being unhealthy. This is why external perspective through counseling or trusted friends is invaluable. To address dysfunction, examine your relationship patterns. Document whether you're avoiding important conversations, excusing harmful behavior, or accommodating someone else's dysfunction to create your roadmap for establishing healthier boundaries. Many of us have tried setting boundaries only to have them immediately trampled. Turkhurst identifies common boundary mistakes, prioritizing others' needs over our own, rewarding disrespect, hinting instead of clearly stating boundaries, taking blame for pushback, getting pulled into debates, and lacking firmness. Her counselor, Jim, offers a crucial distinction. Good boundaries focus on what I do, while bad boundaries focus on what others do. Good boundaries stem from self-control, with the mindset that I am responsible for my actions. This approach accepts we cannot control others, but can limit difficult interactions. Instead of, "You need to stop calling me late at night," focusing on their behavior, say, "I won't be answering calls after 9 p.m. because I need adequate rest," focusing on your behavior. The first invites argument, the second simply states what you will do. Remember, adults inform, children explain. Clear, calm statements about what you will and won't do are more effective than lengthy justifications that invite debate. When set from a place of self-respect rather than anger, boundaries become sustainable guardrails rather than temporary reactions. When you establish boundaries, expect resistance. It's almost guaranteed. Like someone trying to pull down a person standing on a table, you cannot lift someone to a healthier place if they're unwilling to change. The longer this tension persists, the more likely you'll be pulled down. Emotionally mature people can disagree respectfully, recognize their impact on others, and adjust when needed. In contrast, emotional immaturity makes you question your reality and eventually stop addressing obvious issues. Jim observes, "What people don't work out, they act out." When someone hasn't processed internal issues, childhood trauma, abandonment fears, emotional wounds, they project these onto others. People with unresolved internal chaos often create external chaos and blame others for the dysfunction. This explains disproportionate reactions to reasonable boundaries. Your boundary triggers their unresolved issues, activating old wounds and defenses. While you intend your boundary as a clear red light, they treat it as a yellow light to negotiate around. Their resistance doesn't invalidate your boundary. It often confirms how necessary it is. As Terkurse notes, if glimpses of kindness are all that keep you going, you're hanging your hope on air. Remember, healthy people who desire healthy relationships don't consistently resist reasonable boundaries. Their response reveals more about their emotional maturity than about the appropriateness of your limits. Sometimes, despite our best efforts at setting boundaries, relationships remain unsustainable. Terkurse shares her journey through divorce, the hardest goodbye I'll ever say, after recognizing she was in an emotionally destructive relationship that multiple counselors warned could mean the death of me. She emphasizes that she wasn't walking away, but accepting reality. When people demonstrate zero responsibility, their level of access should also be zero. Terkurse describes conducting a million little funerals, private moments of grief and acceptance that help her move forward. These rituals involve acknowledging what isn't, expressing disappointment, crying needed tears, releasing false images of people, accepting others' limitations, and committing to boundaries. She reframes goodbye itself, noting it originally meant "God be with you," a blessing rather than abandonment. This perspective helps us see that sometimes the most loving thing is to release a relationship into God's hands. By establishing boundaries rooted in love rather than control, we create the possibility for healthier relationships and, when necessary, goodbyes that honor both ourselves and others.